The sun shining on July 18, 1863. The tired and hungry soldiers descended on Fort Wagner. The fort's 30-foot wall of earth was the only thing between the Confederates and the Union soldiers. Zachary Jones, as he marched, gazed up at the plumes of smoke emanating from the fort. He was wearing a staple Union uniform and was following the 54th's leader, Robert Shaw. The general was smartly dressed, and he was riding a white horse, whose reins he clutched in his presently gloved hands. It was July, the hottest month of the year in South Carolina, and the smell of sweat and blood was circulating through the air. He was surrounded by the 54th Regiment, the first official black regiment in the Civil War. The fort he was marching toward, Fort Wagner, stood on Morris Island and guarded the Charleston Harbor, and there was only one was to approach the fort, through the narrow strip of the beach, and was bordered by marshland and the Atlantic Ocean. Zachary readied himself as he approached the intimidating 600 feet wide structure. The sounds of the cannons were deafening, and surrounding him was the largest cannonade of the war to date. The first attack in the early hours of July 10th had gone well for the Union. They took 150 prisoners as well as guns and flags. The following attack on July 11th had been as successful as many men had been lost on both sides.
Landmines have been planted and razor-sharp pimento stakes were bought in as additional deterrents. Bodies flew in the air as they hit the landmines and over the sounds of explosions. Screaming could be heard. But the memories of those battles were fading as everyone sought out the new challenge ahead. At exactly 8:15, Zachary looked around and saw the land batteries open fire. Behind him was a general of the 54th Regiment, Robert Gould Shaw. As the day wore on, the sea rose and he could see the ironclads getting closer. The sting of salt in his eyes as the waves rushed up the beach. He ducked, shell after shell burst over his head into the fort. Most of the combat around him was hand to hand, and the sound of grunts and shouts filled the air. Occasionally, an iron missile would skip across waves like stone, and each missile would sound like the roar of thunder. In the distance, as the day gave way to dusk, Zachary saw the Confederate flag raised from the depths of Fort Wagner. As the sun was setting, Shaw formed his men into a tired huddle on the hill. On the hill, his bearing grim but composed, he deployed what was left of his men in columns of wings, and at 7:45 he lifted his sword, signaling the army to head down the beach. As the men sprinted down the beach, the Southerners poked their heads out of the fort like prairie dogs at the zoo. But they waited 500 yards, 350 yards, 200 yards, then finally at 150, fire. The line of fire was breathtaking, but the sounds of screaming brought Zachary back to the present. And by 10:30 p.m., the bloody battle of Fort Wagner was over. Though the 54th sustained heavy losses, they had still proven themselves to be able-bodied and brave in the faces of death.